This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Phil and Dino, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Valerie will read the preamble.
Hi, I'm Valerie. I'm an alcoholic. Hi. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety.
Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Stuart will read the steps.
My name is Stuart. I'm an alcoholic. Step one, these are the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Jen will read the traditions.
Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I'm an alcoholic. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never to endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Travis.
I'm Travis. I'm an alcoholic. That's just really cool to hear like 500 people say, hi, Travis. I want to thank Jarrell for asking me to speak. It's always an honor to speak in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My home group, I'll start with my stats. My home group is New Garden. I have a sponsor. He has a sponsor. And I also work with other men who I sponsor. And I try to apply the 12 steps pretty much every day of my life. And as a result of that, I haven't had a drink since December 7th of 2004. Deep breath. And our book tells us to explain in a general way what we were like, what happened, and what we're like now. Pretty much to blow through the beginning of my drinking, for the most part, I was a heavy drinker from the time I started. Drank heavily for about 9 years. Had a lot of stories in there, a lot of funny stories, a lot of embarrassing stories, a few erotic stories. All kinds of interesting stories, but no, I'm not going to tell them. You know, when the first time I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, it was about 6 months before I came in this program. And I was dry about 2 months at that time. Leading up to that, I was on a pretty heavy binge. I was blacking out all the time. I had gotten a DUI. I'd lost my license. While I was awaiting trial, I was driving out. I was driving in blackouts still. You know, something happened, and I decided to. I was going to quit again. You know, for the 10th, 20th time, whatever it was. And I did, and over the course of the next few months, I went insane. I was resentful constantly, suicidal. I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable, and I didn't understand it. And a friend of mine had suggested I talk to somebody in AA, and I didn't get that because I had already quit drinking, you know, 2 months ago, and I know it. Drinking wasn't my problem. It was when I didn't drink that was my problem, you know. But I decided to do it. And so somewhere in the summer of 2004, I met with two guys. Their name were Jimmy and Bob. And Jimmy and Bob basically did exactly what it says to do in the chapter in our book called Working with Others. They didn't tell me anything about my drinking. They didn't ask me any questions. They just told me their stories. And they said, if you identify with any of this, you may be an alcoholic. And I did, you know. The one question that Jimmy asked me was, you know, how old are you? And I was 27 at the time. And he said, okay, I'm going to tell you my story from the time I started drinking till I was 27, and I'm going to tell you the rest of it. And he told me from the time he started till the time he was 27. And I have never heard somebody talk about drinking that way. Like just a simple having a term for blackouts, because I didn't know what that was. And I remember specifically talking to a friend of mine and be like, you know, like when you drink so much that the next thing you know, it's 5 hours later. And he was like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I never talked about blackouts again. And here this guy's talking about blackouts, you know. And he's talking about how fun it was in the beginning and how, you know, how freeing it was, how he felt strong, all that stuff that we hear in the rooms. And I identify. And then he started talking about how embarrassing it got and bad things started to happen, and I identified. And then his story took a turn well beyond where my drinking was. And he had lost his family, and he had lost his job, and instantly I was like, that's not going to happen to me. I haven't had a drink in 2 months. And the one thing that I remember from that conversation was the way he described alcoholism. He said to me, you know, if alcoholics, once they start drinking, have very little control over how much they drink. So that was the first part that he explained to me, and I identified with that. I knew I had hundreds of experiences where I went out to just have one drink and woke up the next morning not knowing how I got home or where I was, or having to check my bank state, my online Wachovia account to see where I charged things to know where I was. And then he said the second part, which is left to our own devices, alcoholics will drink again. And I didn't believe that at that point. But he planted the seed. And the other good thing was that he worked in the same building I did. And so I used to see him out at smoke breaks. And it's funny to hear me tell a story and hear him tell a story, because the way he describes it, I was this shriveled up, shaking, you know, miserable, pathetic being standing on the sidewalk smoking my cigarette. And he'd come up and be like, "Hey, kid, what's going on?" One day he gave me the phone number of somebody from this group, actually. And he said, "I want you to call this guy. He's got a story like yours." And I'm like, "Yeah, whatever. I'm going to call some stranger." But by the grace of God, and that's the only thing I can think of, I kept that phone number, and I stared at it for a few days, weeks, months, I don't know. And eventually I called a stranger, and I had lunch with him, and I spent an hour arguing why I wasn't an alcoholic. And then I called him a few days later and said, "Hey, you want to meet for lunch?" And he came in, and I argued with him why I wasn't an alcoholic. And eventually he said to me, "You know, why don't you just come to a meeting? You know, why don't you just check it out?" So I'm like, "All right, you know." Now, I had no idea what AA was, other than my conversations with these guys, which were very general, and they spent most of the time talking about really their story. At least that's how I remember it. And the first meeting he brought me to was this room. And, you know, this room is pretty interesting at 5 years. You know, your first day, I was freaked out completely. A, walking into a church, I had a lot of God issues when I came in. Seeing all these smiling, happy people in suits, and there's this 10-minute structure, and the festivities, all this weird stuff. And I was freaked out. I don't remember anything the speaker said. I just remember that everybody was happy. And when we walked around, I saw the steps, and I saw God, and I saw prayer, and I said, "Thanks, but no thanks." This happened to me 2 years ago, too, remember? What this program has given me is amazing. So I said thanks, but no thanks, and I left. And at that point, I had about 5 months or so of dryness. And I went on my merry way. And on December 7th of 2004, I was in an airport. I got in a fight on the phone with some girl I was seeing at the time. And I hung up and I ordered a rum and coke. And I didn't think twice about it. And I don't know why I'm emotional. I really don't. Other than at that point, I knew I was completely powerless over this. And I knew what Jimmy said was right. It also doesn't help that I went to the hospital today to meet with one of my sponsees who, as a result of this disease, nearly killed himself. Sometimes I forget that, you know. My life is pretty freaking rocking right now. Sorry, I said freaking. I'm sorry. Where are you at? I was instructed not only no curse words, but also no abbreviations or anything remotely close. Language, and I got the language sign. My life is pretty amazing, you know, and I forget how hard it was to come in here, you know, and I did not believe any of this was going to work. And I didn't believe in God. I didn't understand the steps. I didn't understand why calling some sponsor every day made any sense at all. Gratitude lists. What the heck is that? But I was willing. That was all I had. I was willing, and I was in enough pain. And today, as a result of continuing to be willing, more or less, continuing to listen to solid direction, continuing to talk to that same sponsor every day, continuing to, you know, to be of service, that as a result of all that, I have an amazing life. A life I wouldn't have imagined, and it's not the externals. I mean, the externals are nice, too. It's how I feel, you know? It's the fact that, you know, 4 years ago when I spoke here, I was obsessed for a month about what I was going to say. And then 2 years ago when I spoke here, I was obsessed for like a week. And this year, I've only been obsessed for about a day and a half. And that's amazing, you know? And if there's anything that I can say to the... Because there's a lot of newcomers in this room, is what I said before. I didn't believe any of this stuff. I really didn't. I didn't believe in the steps. I didn't believe in AA. I didn't have to. All I had to do was one day at a time listen to what other people have done and take suggestions and just stay willing and try to be a little humble. And in a day at a time, I haven't had a drink in my life's rocks. So thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Faye. My name is Faye. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, home group. And thank you so much, Travis. You almost sent me over the edge. Almost. Ready? Here we go. We're going to go over the edge probably here. I want to thank Debbie for asking me to speak tonight. I don't think she's here, but I want to thank her for her invitation, and I want to thank the home group. I want to thank Heidi and Rajesh and Scott and my sponsor, Liz, and my sober sisters and the women who allow me to sponsor them. And I want to thank Amy, Randy, and Tika, and Valerie for praying with me before the meeting. And I feel like I could go through the rows one by one and thank you guys for speaking into the microphone, please, for everything that you've given me. Okay, so let's get to it. So I got my sober date is June 22nd of 2001. My home group is the Atlantic Group. My sponsor's name is Liz S. I'm working on 9, and I'm practicing 10, 11, and 12. And I want to give a special welcome to anybody who's new to Alcoholics Anonymous. Welcome. I want to give a special welcome to anyone who's visiting or who has just moved here, or any visitors who are just checking it out. I'm really glad that you're here. And I know that I get really overwhelmed and sort of feel like barfing when I walk into this place because I'm so nervous. So I know that it's probably even more scary when it's your first time. And so I just want to say that you are welcome. You're very welcome here is what we say on Sunday night. And it's so true. And I know I'm a real alcoholic because when I take a drink, something happens in my body. I can't stop drinking. I used to think that I just like to get really drunk, like I'm crazy, crazy girl. But the truth is that once I put alcohol into my body, no matter what it is, whether it's Old English, whether it's, you know, space bag wine or country or the vodka Popov, that's what I was drinking, that something happens in my body and I cannot stop and I will go to any lengths to get another drink. And I didn't know that until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and my sponsor, my first sponsor, Larissa, sat me down and we read the doctor's opinion, and Dr. Silkworth names it as an allergy, which just means I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol. Other people don't have that. I do. So that's cool. So I just don't drink. That's what the doctor says. The only relief he has to suggest is entire abstinence. Great. Except that every day I think about drinking. And as soon as I do think about drinking, I'm going to drink. Period. No matter what. Even if I just got out of jail for being drunk on the street. Even if my mother had just told me that she's going to leave me for drinking again. My mom's probably not going to leave me. My boyfriend might leave me. Yeah, okay. My mom, you know, is going to stop helping me go to school if I continue to drinking. My friend is going to stop being my friend if I continue drinking. It doesn't matter. The time and place will come. I will drink again. So by myself, on my own, I am in a bad way. And it wasn't until I really felt that I was truly hopeless by myself that I became willing to do anything about it. Because drinking was great. You know, I think back just something that comes to mind was being young and walking from the Safeway. I grew up in California with my friends. We had shoulder tapped to get some 40s. We had 40 parties, and they were really great and cool. And we were walking back to my friend's house, and I remember being barefoot, and it was like spring out, and I wasn't even drunk yet, but the thought of going to drink was like, oh, all I needed. It was like I floated to this house, right? And, you know, then I pulled a knife on my four best friends and, you know, threw up into the bottle and drank everybody's leftovers in the morning, right? When I was like 14 or 15, okay? Fast forward, I'm 17. I just thought of this today. I had a boyfriend who was very, very sick as well and taught me a lot about drinking. And yet he was saying, Faye, if you drink, I'm going to go. I will not be around you when you drink. So I remember I was drunk and he was there and I was like, yes, he doesn't know. I'm so drunk, yes. And I had hidden my 40 bottles, which are so arduous. I don't know why I was always drinking these giant 40s. They're heavy, like they're big, they're caloric, and anyways, I had hidden them in my laundry basket, and I remember I was folding the laundry, I don't know what I was doing. Anyways, they spilled out all over into the room, the 40 bottles, and I remember here was a, thank you very much, Luke, here was an unhappy scene, you know, in my not-so-sumptuous room that I was renting with Jeff, you know, where, you know, what are you doing drinking? I'm not drunk, what do you mean? And then he leaves, you know. But it's okay, because I can still walk to Uptown Liquor, and I can get another 40 and drink to oblivion, you know. Fast forward to 20, and I'm alone. I'm in jail. I've been beaten up. I have no money. I have no one to call. I am stealing. I am lying. I feel the biggest cavern in my heart that you can imagine, that I know you guys know, right? I don't have to describe it. And it wasn't until then that I became willing to do something else, and I asked for help. And the topic on Sunday at our call-up meeting was, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, which we read, it comes in chapter 5 of the book. This is our book. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous. It has the program of AA in it and the directions for how to take the 12 steps. And the way that it has worked for me is that I've met with a sponsor and we've read together, and she's told me what to do when the directions come up in the book. They're not anywhere else. There's not like additional reading that you need to do or like special quests you need to go on. Find somebody tonight, don't wait, and read the book and do the work. And I promise you that your life will change, right? Yeah, I promise. And anyways, so, oh yeah, so that topic. And you know, I kept thinking, I used to think I was following the path. I don't know, like, I thought because I was smiley and cute and funny and sort of smart that, like, I was doing it. And I was coming to meetings and I was making coffee and I even liked AA. But I wasn't really following the path. So I just want to say that the path for me has been in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that I hope that that's the message I want to carry tonight. That if you're just coming around and checking it out and, like, dipping your toe in, if you're like me, you will drink again, period. Maybe not tonight, and maybe not even in 10 years, but the book says the time and place will come, we will drink again if we don't have this another power, not me. Hey, I don't know what God is. I don't know who or where or what it is, but I know that when I've taken the directions of the steps, which are hard and not what I want to do and uncomfortable, and they are very, inconvenient, and sometimes really scary and frightening, but I have a source in my heart that has allowed me to build a beautiful life. It is a foundation for living. It's a way of life, and I have a peace in my heart that I can't thank you guys enough for, and that I didn't know I was going to find in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, that's great. Good, great, peace in my heart. But I'm also defended from a drink. I'm not going to drink today, you know? And I must have this power, some other power
that is like the same as the feeling I have for a friend, right? Or what I feel when I hear my favorite song, or I'm dancing around, or I'm rolling my toes in the grass, or I'm saying a prayer with somebody. Last night I prayed with my friend Mark, and I was praying about some, God, remove this from me. It was a prayer about me. And I opened my eyes and he said, are you thinking about yourself? But I wasn't. I was thinking about right there where I was. It was amazing. I was not, I was asking for help, but I wasn't thinking about myself. And that relief from this up here in my mind, which is going to go whether or not I have a drink, if I don't have a drink in me, this is going, right? Unless I'm treating it with some other thing. Otherwise, I'm going to have to do something, right? And maybe it's not a drink today. Maybe it's telling a lie or stealing some money, thank you, Luke, or hurting somebody or not showing up when I say I am. All these different things, I've done them all. I mean, I don't. Maybe there's more. There's probably more. I'm going to find out about them. And I'll come and I'll share them, and somebody here will know what I'm saying. And I have to tell you, home group, that I've been given an opportunity. I've gotten a job in California, and I'm moving home in August to California. And I'm so sad to leave you guys, but I want to say that you have given me this foundation. I started working with Liz. I'd worked the steps before. I had 7 years, but she was like, "We'll work the steps again out of the book." And I was like, "Well, okay, I don't probably need to do that, but we'll do it." I've had a spiritual awakening as the result of working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, I'm freer, I'm happier, and I think I've passed it on to some people. So I just want to tell you guys that I'm not going today or anything, but that you guys live in my heart, that God lives in my heart in a way that is indeed miraculous. And this thing is ready for you. Come and get it. Come and find somebody to help you at the end of the meeting. Contempt prior to investigation, right? All the things I thought wouldn't work for me. Those are the things that make my heart full today. So we got to check it out. Thank you so much for having me.